Support for this episode comes from Signature Bank.
Hey, this is Gary Head at Signature Bank of Arkansas. 20 years ago, we set out to build something different, a community bank that knows your name, values relationships, and gives our bankers the authority to serve you the way that you deserve. From our first location in Fayetteville to now serving families, farms, and businesses across Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Harrison, Brinkley, and Jonesboro, we've grown, but our mission remains the same. Local, personal, trusted. With 210 passionate teammates and growing, we're proud to serve all of our communities, including through Banco C, our bilingual banking services in Rogers and Springdale. Whether you're starting your own business, buying a home, or planning for the future, Signature Bank is here for you. Call us today at 479-684-3700 or visit us online at signature.bank. And be sure to tell us you heard about us right here on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Searching for local businesses in Northwest Arkansas just got easier. From restaurants to roofers, boutiques to baristas, finditnwa.com connects you to the best local businesses with just one click. Discover something local, something great. Visit finditnwa.com today. Find it fast, find it local, finditnwa.com.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Without further ado, here's our fearless host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and I'm excited to be with you today, as always. Listen, I've got a really special episode for you today, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I have been wanting to do the grapple arts for a while, and I took judo in college with a world-renowned judo teacher, instructor, who was actually an Olympian, and shout out to Mr. Kim, but the long story short is I've just not gotten back into the gym to take any more lessons, but that's going to change after today's episode. And once you hear who my guest is, you will understand why. I'm so excited to that today's guest, they've traveled a long way to bring something special to Northwest Arkansas, from the vibrant streets of Fortaleza, Brazil, to the heart of Springdale. Ismael Santos has lived and breathed Brazilian jiu-jitsu since he was a teenager. He's not only one of the top-ranked featherweight athletes in the world, he's also a teacher, mentor, and founder of Yosai Jiu-Jitsu, a brand-new academy built around the idea that asking the right questions can transform your life. So without further ado, I want to welcome Ismael Santos to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Man, absolutely. When I heard from, and shout out to Mary Mickle and Andrea and the rest of the team over there at A&M, that those guys are amazing. And when they reached out to me to tell me about you, and I said, definitely want to have Ismael on the podcast to learn more about him and to find out what he's up to, because I think I'm big into health and wellness, and we have so many bike trails here in Northwest Arkansas, but there not everybody likes riding a bike, right? And there are other options. There are other ways for you to stay healthy, and one of those ways is to practice the martial arts, is to learn from that. And so I would love for you maybe to talk just a little bit about your origin story. Like, basically, what inspired you to bring your journey to Northwest Arkansas and open Yosai Jiu-Jitsu in Springdale?
I'm from Brazil, like you said. I'm from a big city, Fortaleza. It's kind of like Miami vibes and everything. So I started as a teenager, like you said. And what brought me here to Northwest Arkansas actually was my friends. So I had my best friend here in Northwest Arkansas. So he brought me here to train with him. That way that we can travel around U.S. to compete and all that. And by the time I was just an athlete, I was full athlete. I was helping him with the class and all that. I was learning how to teach and everything else. How to speak English, of course. Mm-hmm. And I ended up here in Northwest Arkansas. And then I think it was a great decision that I had before. And that's what made me, how can I say this, happy to be here.
Yeah.
Open up a school in Springdale and then making the Northwest Ark community, jiu-jitsu community grow and help people through jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
My goal right here.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if I answer your question.
No, it's fine. Yo, just, hey, man, you're good to go and it is fine. And I'm going to kind of connect the dots for people listening. But I specifically really just want to learn about you. And also about jiu-jitsu, because I think a lot of people have questions about the martial arts specifically, but jiu-jitsu directly. And so I think that's fine. But you said, I was reading some of the documents about you and some articles online. You said jiu-jitsu transformed your life. Can you share maybe a defining moment from your early training in Brazil where you were like, where it all clicked for you and you were like, man, this is something that I want to do for a long time?
Yeah, so I started like when I was 13 years old. By the time I was like into sports, right? So I was on the high school playing, we call indoor soccer.
Sure.
So I was competing and all that. So I always was like, I had a competitor mentality. And since I started jiu-jitsu, I started like competing right away. I think my first competition was with 1 month of training. And what I believe making the change in my mind was like whenever I was like, I'm not going to say like a bad kid. I would say I was like getting to a fight in the streets and all that. And then I become a better person, I would say.
Yeah.
Since I started jiu-jitsu, I never get into a fight in my whole life. But before, I would say pretty much every month I was like getting suspended or something like that. And also because of bullying too. So I was jiu-jitsu to defend myself. And so that's how it started, basically. So I had my friend that he was trained on his garage with one of his friends. And then in Fortaleza, we all play at the street, we play soccer at the street, we play hide and seek and all that kind of stuff. And he invited me to do jiu-jitsu. He's like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, sure. So, and then since I started, I fell in love, and that's how got me here, to be honest.
Yeah, so you never looked back once you did that. And it's funny now that you say that, I don't know that anybody would mess with you from a bullying perspective or anything like that with your skill set and background in jiu-jitsu. So tell me real quickly for the uninitiated here that are listening to this. Now, I remember growing up, I had heard about jiu-jitsu. Uh-huh. Then later on, I heard about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Can you maybe articulate the difference between the two, if any, or is it just more of a style?
So jiu-jitsu originally is from kind of like Japan.
Right.
A guy brought into Belém do Pará, which is in Brazil, and are developing more techniques. And then they start like the Gracie family and all that, the two types of lineage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, lineage, yeah, that's perfect.
Lineage.
Yep.
And that's how it started. And then they start developing jiu-jitsu in a better techniques, better way that the small guy can beat the bigger guy and that stuff. So that's how I would say the difference between those. Of course, the style. And for who don't know what jiu-jitsu is, I would say kind of like wrestling, judo mix.
Yeah.
With submission, which is based on control, right? So I got to get to this side, or I have to go to the back. I have to control the person before I submit them. So that
because I mean, it's what's known as part of the grappling arts, right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and judo, I think judo is also a grappling art as well.
Yes. But it's more about throws, though.
Yeah.
Those, we take people down as well. But like, for example, whenever you put the person's back on the mat, whenever you throw it, the match is over, right?
Yes, yes.
So you, you still can fight.
Okay. Okay.
Don't tap, right? So if the person, now you keep going. If the person gets to your side, you keep going. If the person goes to your back, you keep going. Until the person make you tap. If the person make you tap, it's over.
It's over.
Based on tournaments, right? So let's say me and you is fighting, and then I take you down.
Hey, man, I don't know if I'm fighting you anytime soon. So, no, it's fine. I'm just messing with you. Yeah. Like,
if I throw you, and then I get 2 points for the takedown, right? And then I got three more. So let's say I end up doing 20 points on you. And for some reason, you start like pushing, and then you get your guard back and get a triangle, for example, which is a choke.
Yep.
And then you start squeezing your legs, and then I start like feeling out of breath, and then I tap. It's over. You win the match. Even if I have 20 points over. That makes sense?
I got you. Yeah, it does make sense.
It too is a little bit different of judo and wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's based on control until submit.
Okay. Control until submit. Yeah. No, that does make sense. So
that's how I'm going to explain, I think, the easiest way to people understand.
Yeah. Control until submit. You say that the philosophy of asking questions, I mean, I'm curious to know, like, asking the right questions is always important in life, right? But you, one of the things that you've talked about, and it's on your website, you talk about how does the philosophy of asking questions apply to learning and growth in jiu-jitsu?
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? I mean, explain that to me a little bit. And how would you, if I was coming in as a young person into your jiu-jitsu studio, what kind of questions would you be talking to me about asking in terms of having a better understanding of what I need to do to learn more about this martial art?
So jiu-jitsu is kind of like a funny martial arts, I would say. It's not easy. I always think that. It's a martial arts that you have to be on the mats, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So mat time. And the mat time doesn't lie. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
And about the right question that I mentioned is how I gonna go through jiu-jitsu, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, professor, how I get to the top position, or like how I can, like how I defend myself, is more about concepts around than a specific technique, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Because like, if you started jiu-jitsu today and then I tell you, for example, a spider guard, what do you imagine?
Would you say a spider guard?
Yeah. It's a guard that you use, but you never trained before, so you're not going to understand.
Yeah. But I would just think of a spider coming down on a web.
But if I say you this, so you're going to be on top, on bottom. I want you to keep your legs up to protect yourself. What are you going to do? Keep your legs up to protect yourself, right?
Right.
So that's kind of like question that I try to make it easier for the person, if that makes sense, whenever they come through towards me and then ask about those.
Yeah.
Like, what should I do when I'm on bottom? What should I do when I'm on top? So I cannot specifically tell them what to do. I have to explain that way the person's going to understand.
Yeah.
That makes sense, or
it does, and it sounds like what you're saying is that as the evolution of learning jiu-jitsu takes place, that the participant, if I'm learning jiu-jitsu and practicing on a regular basis, as a practicing student, I need to constantly be asking questions about what I need to do in certain situations when I'm confronted with something that I'm not sure how to deal with, like you said, being on the ground. If I am on the ground and I've got two guys coming after me, how do I protect myself?
Yeah, you know, like up, kick and run.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, and I think that's important, right? Because, I mean, you're opening up a studio where you're going to have a lot of people that are going to come through those doors and not really, maybe have no familiarity with martial arts whatsoever. How are you going to, and how have you helped beginners overcome maybe fear or self-doubt, like when they first step on the mat?
Can you repeat one more time the question? Sorry.
How do you help beginners, like new people into the sport of jiu-jitsu, overcome fear or self-doubt when they first step on the mat? So like your new students, how do you help them overcome the fear that, well, I can't do anything with this Ismael guy because he's a world-class athlete. I'm just Joe Blow or Sue whoever, and I don't know anything. How do you help those individuals overcome the fear?
I usually, whenever I'm talking with someone that started jiu-jitsu, and then they ask me, like, why I cannot do this with you? So I always use an example. For example, so if you go to the university, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you are a student, right? Yeah. So whenever you go there, so the professor will be the person, this higher person, right? In terms of knowledge.
Sure.
About learning, how can I say? How can I say this?
Studying a subject.
Yes, a subject.
Yeah, okay.
So if you have more knowledge than the professor, it's something wrong with the university, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's how I understand. And then like always I put a math thing. So I have been doing this for like almost 13 years.
Okay.
And then I would say probably I'm training 3-4 times a day. Those 13 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a lot of training.
A lot of mat time is a lot of sacrifice. And then also I'm a fully athlete, right?
Yeah.
So the person that comes into a gym to do jiu-jitsu as a beginner, so they have family, they have jobs, so they are there to... This is stressful, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's completely different in terms of skill and level, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, I can be like training someone that is like very old. No, very old. 72 years old. I have a student who is 72 years old.
Wow.
The same thing that I have to teach him, I cannot teach somebody is like 80, for example, or 20, for example.
Right. Yeah.
So the body is different. Like the flexibility is different. The mentality is different. The injuries is different. That makes sense?
Yeah. So your teaching is dependent on the student.
So
whether you have a 15-year-old young lady come into your class or a 72-year-old man, like you said, you currently have a student, you're going to give them an individualized program to learn jiu-jitsu.
So we're going to use the same techniques,
mm-hmm.
but different ways to do it. So that's the good thing about jiu-jitsu. It's for everyone.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Yeah, like, it makes perfect sense.
3 years old, you're going to still do jiu-jitsu. You can be 5 years old, you're still going to be doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So, like, really depends how your body is, how your injuries is, what is your goal, and then all that, right? So, like, for example, if someone come to me, hey, I want to be a professional athlete.
Yep.
So, I'm going to guide him to be a professional, which means I'm going to go a little harder on him. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So, that's how I usually do with beginners. So, I always look at them, look at the person's goals and gonna walking through it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. I understand that now. And so you really are holistically focused on the beginning student, regardless of age, that walks through the doors of your gym. And is it called a gym or it's not a dojo, right?
You can call it gym.
Okay, you call it gym. Okay, so why have you chosen or why do you believe Springdale is the perfect home for Yosai Jiu-Jitsu?
So like I said, I have two good friends here in Arkansas. So one is in Fayetteville and then another one is in Bentonville.
Okay.
So in my mind was like, no, Bentonville already is in good hands.
Yeah.
So now it's my time. So Springdale has to be in a good hands.
Yeah. Are you the first Brazilian jiu-jitsu spot in Springdale?
No. They have two gyms before that. They currently have one, but it's more martial arts in general.
Okay. In general,
jiu-jitsu.
I got you.
I think I'm the only one in Springdale pure jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Okay. So and I'm curious to know again, I mean the Brazilian people, and Brazil is a beautiful country. It's a huge country. I had a chance to visit over a year and a half ago. How are you incorporating your community project roots, right? Just taking back mm-hmm. your sensibilities from Brazil into your academy here. What will people feel? How will they feel Brazil when they walk into your gym here in Springdale?
First of all, my accent.
Right. I can hear it. So, you know, because I said bom dia to you first thing when we got on the call. But
whenever I'm teaching, I always to put some songs in Brazilian Portuguese. Whenever I'm teaching kids, I'm kind of encourage them to count 1 to 10 in Portuguese.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I teach them, for example, Rio Naked Choke is the joke that we do. I always say Mata Leão. That's the way that we say in Portuguese. So it's kind of like that. But I would say my accent will be the first thing that they're going to notice. And of course, the music that I put on the gym too.
Yeah. Yeah. Portuguese is a beautiful language. And I certainly
do the way that we Brazilians treat people, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Always shake hands, hugging, and sharing the love, I would say.
Spreading the love. Yeah. You're right, because that's how it was when I was there. I mean, everybody hugged me. It just, it was very personable space. And I know sometimes Americans don't like people invading their space, and every country's different.
Yeah.
But that, I think that's kind of welcomed in this day and age where people are always kind of keeping their distance from folks. It's nice to be able to come into settings where, you know, you feel warmth, right? And so even though you might get beat up on the mat, you still feel warm at the same time. So, man, yeah, I really like that. So listen, I'm curious to know, what lessons from jiu-jitsu translate most directly into everyday life? If I'm coming in there and I'm training with you, what are some of the takeaways that you think I will derive from the training that I do with you that I can apply to everyday life?
First of all, I think the most important one, and then that one that you can take most from jiu-jitsu, is discipline.
Yeah.
My life changed like this. Whenever I started training jiu-jitsu, I was more disciplined, I would say. A better person. Sometimes, as an athlete, I'm saying as an athlete, right? Sometimes I don't want to go lifting weight, mm-hmm. but I have to do it. Sometimes I don't want to be on diet, but I have to do it.
You have to do right? it, yeah.
I think the most one that you can, pull to yourself, grab it, mm-hmm. is, I would say.
Yeah. What did you say? What was that last thing you just said?
That one. That you can pull to yourself. No, this is mine. Discipline.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? I got you. Yeah. No, I totally understand that. And I think that's one of the things that anybody could take away from practicing martial arts. And again, it's the key operative word there is practice, right? You never fully master it. You are continually learning new aspects to martial arts, right? So that's why it's there's never... I mean, of course, there are belts and things of that nature. Are there belts in jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So.
But it's funny because I'm a black belt. I'm kind of on the last one.
Okay. Okay.
We still have coral belt and a red belt.
Okay.
But whenever you get those, you're pretty old.
Yeah. So that's cool.
The same thing that I teach to my students, I still drilling every single day. You are constantly the good thing about jiu-jitsu is a martial arts that never stop. If you get someone that trained jiu-jitsu 10 years ago, and then you grab someone that trained jiu-jitsu 10 years after that time, you're going to see a lot of different, in terms of game, techniques, that way that they do. For example, let's say if you grab a blue belt from 2008, I would say, mm-hmm. and then you put him to fight with a blue belt that trained jiu-jitsu nowadays, probably the blue belt nowadays is going to beat the guy that was training 2008, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, because
of the enough jiu-jitsu. So, the way that you do techniques, so the way that they, level up the techniques, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I would imagine it's changed a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even how you were learning jiu-jitsu back in Brazil is different than how you're doing it now. Totally, mm-hmm. yeah. how are you, this is a, I mean, I don't know how you're doing it, but how do you balance running an academy with maintaining your own competitive edge? You as an athlete, as somebody that's out there participating in events on a regular basis, right? Because you practice what you preach. You not only teach it, but you go out and do it. How are you going to, how are you balancing doing both? Running an academy and being an athlete?
To be honest, it's a little bit harder than was, like, I would say 4 years ago whenever I was. But we, I have, like I said, I have two best friends here, and we have a pre-group training, pre-group. Usually we meet all day, every day on the week in the morning. I would say 1 hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And plus that, I lift weights too, and then also my diet. And then also I train with the students. So it's, how can I say, I help them, they help me too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would guess we have an expression, iron sharpens iron.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I think that's really, really important, and I think that can help.
We training them. I use my all morning to train.
Yeah.
I can use my afternoon just to teach and help people through jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I train with them. Most of the times I train with them, which help them too, like, right? So, like, training with a high-level athlete makes you better too. So like,
sure, sure.
That's my kind of, like, balance between those.
Well, and I always learned, I mean, I remember growing up, I grew up right outside of New York City. And of course, the best basketball players when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s were in New York City. And so as a kid in the suburbs, we wanted to go over there and play basketball with the better players, because that's the only way you're going to get better. I used to play with adults basketball, and a lot of the sports that I participated in, I would play with older people that were older than me. That's the only way you get better.
It was kind of like that too.
Yeah. So
Brazil, like actually in my hometown, my gym didn't have many kids to train, so I was training with the adults pretty much 13 till 15, I would say. Whenever I started growing up, I was like, no, it's time to go to adults class. But I was already doing it.
Did you feel like that it helped accelerate your knowledge and understanding of the martial art?
Yes and no. So I think helped me to get like tougher, I would say.
Yeah.
And also to develop a little bit more strength and I would say body conditions, I would say. Because I was like doing a lot of strength because of the adults and all that. But also I think it's super important kids train with kids. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Like if I
train, it does. It does.
They're not going to go 100% on me. So they're going to let me do stuff, right?
Yeah.
But if I go with another kid my size, so they're not going to let me do it. So right? So I think it's I think should be a balance between those things. Like, of course, if you have to train with adults and with kids for sure, but if you can train with a little bit of adults, the people that are like close to your size and that they can give you a little bit more strength and all that, I think help both, right? But you got to do a balance, not just with adults or not just with kids, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Especially no, it does.
A teenager, like 15 years old, and whenever you like taller and big, I'm not saying about like, kids 8 years old or 9 years old or 10 years old. But whenever you're like a teenager, like I was 13 and then I was 14 weighing almost 145.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I had some adults close to my weight so that way that I could train with them. So I think that's important. Training somebody your size and a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm curious to know, when we see like mixed martial arts on TV, like we watch the MMA fighters and what have you, what percentage of those mixed martial artists utilize Brazilian jiu-jitsu in their repertoire of different martial arts that they know?
So I had a couple friends that do MMA.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always told me like the ground part is one of the most important things.
Yeah.
Because usually most of the fights end up on bottom.
Sure.
So, of course, if you get two people that do strike, they're going to be on feet all the time, right?
Yeah.
A knockout happen, right? But if, for example, a knockout happen if I just throw a punch and then I drop the guy down.
Yep.
So if I'm on bottom, if I don't know what to do, probably I'm going to get beat up.
Right? Yeah.
So all my friends that do MMA, they always told me that like jiu-jitsu, grappling in general, is one of the most important things. Even if you don't know how to attack, you at least have to know how to defend yourself. That makes sense?
Yeah, you know, it does. It does make sense.
So right now, like for example, from UFC fighters, right? We have Charles do Bronx.
Okay.
Charles Oliveira. He had the belt on the UFC, and then he's like a black belt jiu-jitsu black belt.
Okay.
We had who else? So now we have Cade and Ty Rotolo. They was a high level jiu-jitsu athlete. So now they are in one championship doing MMA too. And then they had the belt as well. So that's what I think, like I would say, I think most of the champions, they have trained jiu-jitsu before.
Them. Yeah. So what you're saying is it's a foundational martial arts for mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that's what I would say. So if you have a good ground, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to know how to strike, how to punch, how to kick, how to defend. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, if you don't know anything about grounds, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Right. Because everybody ends up on the ground at some point in time. So, No, that makes perfect sense. And I think the thing that's important to remember, and again, it's what I said earlier for people listening to this, if you start in the martial arts, any martial arts, but whether it's Brazilian jiu-jitsu or anything, it is a practice. It's something that you have to continue to do. Now, I'm under no illusion. I still remember some things from judo, but because I don't practice judo on a regular basis, I'm not going to be nearly as good as someone that's in the gym even once or twice a week, going through their movements and throwing people and all that good stuff. So in the same way as that, as it would be with Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you've got to practice. So people coming to your gym, well, they can come as many times as they want a week, or how does that work?
Yeah. So if they want to, they can choose the membership that they want, right? So if they want to start with twice a week, they can start twice a week and then see how the progression goes and how the body feels. And also, they can start already, like, full-time, I would say, full-time.
Sure.
That way that you can do all classes. If you want to do twice a day, you can do twice a day. It's really up to you.
Yeah.
And then how your body feels after that, right? Like you said, it's a hard martial arts. No, not hard on the body, but it's tiring.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, and you will be sore. I mean, I don't want to, let's not sugarcoat it. I think people need to know there'll be a little soreness, but sometimes soreness is good, right?
But the good thing about jiu-jitsu, you don't get punched, you don't get elbow on your face, so it's easier on your body, I would say.
Yeah, there you go.
Boxing and Muay Thai and kickboxing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do any of those as well or no?
I did a little bit of kickboxing, but I stopped it right away.
Yeah, yeah.
I did, this is not my...
Not your thing. Yeah, that's not your thing. No, I totally get that. So listen, as we close out, Ishmael, what legacy do you want to leave here in Northwest Arkansas through your program, Yosai Jiu-Jitsu? What mark do you hope to leave here?
I want to, the most thing that I want is change people's life.
Mm-hmm.
And my legacy that I want is people look at me as a good person, as a good professor, and then, oh, this guy is a good guy, and then he's a good teacher. He transformed my life through jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
My main thing. And, of course, the kids, because that's the next generation, right? So I wanna encourage them through jiu-jitsu to be a better person, to pursue their dreams, and be a better person at home, at school, and everywhere they go.
I think kids need role models like that, man.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's my goal.
Okay. Well, man, listen, I wish you nothing but continued success. And I'm going to get over to the gym and grapple with you a little bit. And hopefully you'll go easy on me. But for those that are listening and are like, you know what? I'm in Springdale. I want to sign up for a class with Ishmael. Where do you direct them to go? Where is your gym located? And then give us the phone number, and then we'll give the website address as well.
Yeah, so the website will be yosaijiujitsu.com.
Okay, yeah. And that's Y-O-S-A-I JIUJITSU.com.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's your side jiu-jitsu. We'll put all of that in the show notes so people have it as well.
Yeah. We also are in Instagram. So if you guys wanted to follow us, it's like Yosai Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
We are located at 1110 Matthias Drive in Springdale.
1110 Matthias Drive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Suite E.
Okay. In Springdale.
Right close to Sam Springdale, right across the street.
Right across the street from where?
Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Over on that side off of 412.
Thai Spies on that. In there.
Okay.
And the phone number is
479-249-4437.
Thank you.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Well, you shared that with me. So now I know. Now I know where to find you. So, no, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, man, Ismael Santos, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. And we look forward to watching your gym grow here in Springdale. And more importantly, watching the lives that you are able to impact and change right here, young and old, teaching them how to be safe in a dark alley, but at the same time also helping them build a little bit more self-esteem.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah. That's cool. Thank you so much, man.
So much. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. What a great conversation with Ismael Santos, a world-class competitor who reminds us that strength isn't just physical. It's about discipline, curiosity, and community. If you want to learn more or maybe even give jiu-jitsu a try, check out Yosai Jiu-Jitsu in Springdale. They're officially opening October 13th, which even if you're listening to this after that date, you need to check them out. And they are welcoming new students of all ages and experience levels. I'm Randy Wilburn, and this has been another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I hope you guys get out there and check out Ismael and what he's doing at Yosai Jiu-Jitsu in Springdale. And if you do go over there, please tell them that you heard about it first here on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. We'll see you back here next week with another new episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IAMNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Attention, Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing OnboardNWA.com, your hyperlocal job board, crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at OnboardNWA.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.